Welcome to another episode of Europe's B2B SaaS Sales Podcast. Today with Christian Fonsius, co-founder and co-CEO of Terabit, revolutionizing the wind industry with AI analytics. And today we talk a bit about how to basically help with the product to lead sales, that the product should do the heavy lifting, how to also do AI startup sales with close to zero industry knowledge as a co-founder, but being hyper-precise in communication processes. And then also how to prepare your first sales to hire and what questions to ask. So Christian, over to you. Tell us a bit more about what brought you to Terabit and also two actionable insights that listeners can implement immediately.
Sure. Hi, Manuel. Thank you first for being here on the podcast. I'm a fan, so I'm super excited to be here today. Yeah, my name is Christian. I'm right now the co-founder of Terabit. And prior to Terabit, I always was really interested and eager about entrepreneurship and started my first startups during my studies and B2C startups, basically completely different industries, each attempt. And then I learned a lot about it. And at some point I read a lot of how to start a startup. And at some point I noticed that when you do a B2B startup, one of the founders needs to know a lot about sales. And that struck with me because my background is business administration, so I have no relevant tech knowledge like coding. And so I immersed myself into sales and looked for an opportunity to do that. And then I went joined a startup directly after studies, worked there for 3 years, built sales from scratch, was hired as a first business employee. And then I had a lot of flexibility and freedom from the founder, luckily. Shout out to Leo Rose at this point. And yeah, it was somewhat like an entrepreneurial sales employee. And yeah, learned the startup sales back there.
And what are two things that you said, like, hey, these two things were just game changing for me, like, and that listeners can implement immediately?
That's a great question. I feel like really detached from the outcome.
Yeah.
For every conversation, from the cold call to the closing call, really, really having like this service mindset. Okay, what should we do to make this a great next step?
Yeah, yeah. And how do you do that? Like, can you give an example of where you maybe even also lost the deal and that didn't drive you nuts? Where just like, hey, look, I did everything. I had a service mindset. I learned something here. Because that's hard as a salesperson, right?
Yeah, it's super hard, especially when you're a bootstrap startup, you have a runway and you have a certain time to do it. It's really tough, and I've been there. And for me, when I didn't win a deal with Terabit, I really reflected on the customer and on the target persona, and I noticed patterns there, and that helped me to focus on the learning journey and make my my communications better and changed a lot there in the whole sales process.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And you mentioned you basically went to business university, right? You studied likewise to me, basically a lot of time, like 2010 to 18 overall at Kiel, innovation management, even entrepreneurship, but you learned zero about B2B sales, right?
Exactly.
What needs to change in DACH, like in Germany, Austria, Switzerland, to actually not when you teach people business or to teach people sales? Because as you say, like, it's kind of a relevant skill set.
Yeah, I mean, when I prior entering sales, I really had like always the especially B2B sales, I had the mindset of being like this annoying person in a store selling a digital camera. Christian, do you want like the blue one or the yellow one? And like, man, I just want to shop and buy my camera myself. And I had zero knowledge about how much skill set you need in terms of how much industry knowledge, how to run a conversation, the whole process. And yeah, there's so much to it, and I didn't know all about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's another quick win with also what you mentioned, like you're selling like an AI solution to like a very established legacy industry, like the wind industry, the traditional slow moving industry. What's one thing that got you from zero to six figure ARR? I think you closed two deals today. Congrats today.
Thanks. Yeah, there's no one thing actually. That's the one thing. There's no silver bullet in sales. I have rather an engineering mindset, and really from the first conversation to closing, really adjust sometimes each sentence when I pitch the first 30 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you rehearse that like very specifically for the first 30 seconds that you're more solid, like on confidence, or like what's the adaptation?
Yeah, in a cold call scenario, for sure. So I absolutely know how the whole conversation works. And then I use the software for doing that, like conversation intelligence software.
Yeah.
And I always can recommend it, especially in a cold call scenario. But when you move the deal, yes, of course, especially due to qualification in the qualification stage, I have question. I worked, for example, for 1.5 years on what kind of question should I ask my opportunity to drive the conversation the next level. And for example, in these 45 to 60 minutes of a demo, for example, if you call the demo, like in the demo stage, how do you run the conversation that you have the opportunity to go for to jointly find the next step, which makes sense for the potential customer?
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. And then in your industry, right, you didn't have like 10 years of NSCT or Aon or any like other like energy company background from an industry perspective. How did you get into the wind industry, build authority, build enough trust to close deals, actually, like to close 5-figure deals after just like 2 years?
Yeah, it was brutal, to be honest. especially you really have to, especially when you do cold, I did cold calls. I called hundreds of personas with back then, like my target persona. I called them and I had the conversation, and it was quite intense, and I learned a lot. And then really getting better call by call, getting the learning the words for the which I like used in the industry since I. And learn them and apply them in the right context. And at the same time, when you lack the experience, I mean, there's no shortcut to experience. You really need to be hyper precise in communication. What does the technology actually do? And what is the value from your perspective? Even if you cannot pinpoint the value towards a number, like the ROI will be 10x or 8x or 20x of your solution, you really, really describe very clearly what will happen when you deploy this product, and this is even more important since you run a sales process. Be hyper precise what the next steps look like, and frame those steps as this is what we usually do. We usually do a demo with 20 with 50 wind turbines. It takes 6 months, and during this 6 months we meet every week and do XYZ, and the outcome will be ABC, and then you can decide.
Yeah.
And I actually, this is something I learned during my startup experience. Getting the value precisely as a startup is sometimes not even possible. And this is like, really build your sales process and your product towards the first time to value quickly for the customer. And from the software infrastructure perspective or feature perspective, really, really get there to measure the value. And it has to be the metric which is relevant for the customer.
Yeah. So would you say like being hyper-precise when framing the buyer journey would run be something like, this is how we run things after this call. Here's what will happen next. We will run an initial collaboration for 10 wind turbines for low 5-figure investment. When this works well, we will roll out the solution together, like globally, for a 6-figure amount.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I would like to add, and I think this is maybe even more important, your sales process and the next step. I think there should be a great story to tell.
Yeah.
Because when it's a great story, your champion can tell that story internally. And I think that makes so much sense.
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier on, like, you detach from the outcome and you need to embrace a service mindset. So, like, it's actually nice Microsoft says these stories and stories, right? If you give your champion a story and the person messes it up completely internally, right? How do you do that? And how would you also, if you think about it, your first sales hire, you teach that sales hire something, goes in a call, completely messes up. How do you react on that and not fix it, but also emotionally be fine with it?
Like, when the outcome is not the outcome I want to hear. That actually happened in a call today. I was quite frank, to be honest. I do not really understand fully what you really mean by what you said. Because usually what we do is X, Y, that, and I kind of try to fit what you said into the story or into what we do here. And I didn't get it, to be honest. Can you help me understand? And I think that works quite good for me, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's a critical point that you always ask, like, hey, how can I understand better also when you go into like a new industry or a new use case, especially if it's like larger sales ticket sizes, right? Where you go like from 30K towards 300K ARR in your case. I mean, how do you balance like selling and discovery, like learning at the same time? Because one is being hyper precise, like here's how we run things, here's what's going to happen next. On the other hand, sometimes you need to ask, like, how do we need to run things? What needs to happen next in your organization?
Yes. There's no clear or like we do these three things and then this happens. It's so much figuring out, and we really bring innovation to the market. It has not been done before, scaling an AI monitoring in a portfolio of 1 to 2 to 5 gigawatts from at least what we know didn't happen yet. And how you adjust according to your processes, how do you adjust your operation maintenance strategy or whatever strategy, it changes from customer to customer, especially in enterprise. So this is really this groundwork, figuring it out, I think there's a lot of reflection one should do, I think. And I try it. And if I reflect on our conversation, I would add to the what should one do in situations where you do not get the outcome you expect. I think it's really important to detach from your emotions as well during the sales call. Yeah. And this helps me a lot to really drive the conversation in a professional way. And
yeah, I think that's so important. But like a microscript that I started embracing more is like, hey, sometimes I win, sometimes I learn. The only thing like which emotionally is frustrating, but when you like go into discovery call, go into collaboration call, and then you get an email like, hey, we decided for another provider, or we don't move forward, as like, mate, show up to work, give me a piece of actionable feedback so I can learn. Typically it's fine if you call people like, hey, sometimes I win, sometimes I learn here, I seem to learn. I would love to do that. Could we shorten the 60 minutes schedule call to 50 minutes so you can share with me your experience on a buyer journey, what I could have done better, how you evaluate the solution. I would go one further, and you can even ask for a referral because people in the certain cluster typically know other people. So
yeah, that's a great idea. I think like what we usually do when there's like, okay, we call it a decision call where we, for example, yeah, we prepared everything, then it's up to upper management. And sometimes you get access to that person, sometimes you don't. This is like the reality in sales. Then you have like this decision call, or when a customer reflects internally, like, right, really reflects internally if this is a strategic it's a strategic decision to deploy our software. So when they have the conversation, and then they come, when we book this decision meeting, and then we understand. And this is, I think, a great way to ask for a referral if it's a no. I like that tactic.
Yeah, absolutely.
And coming back to the, like, how to strategically evolve your ticket size, your sales processes to speed up the journey as a startup in terms of revenue growth. I think it's really how fast can you learn? And you hear it so much and everybody adds a thought on that. But what would really work great for us, and I think that's maybe quite actionable as a startup, is to use customer success as a driver for really speed up the information flow from how the customer, the user experience, the software, the product, and what you need to adjust to get closer to the point where the customer wants to scale your solution.
Yeah.
And we do it actually without like having like the organization for customer success. It's just, I think this is really a decision.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a mindset to just ask, like, are you successful with a solution? And I think like it was like, yeah, I can say it was an SAP rep, right? We went there like a small provider, and it's like, I was like, hey, we could provide so much, we could make the customers so much more successful. We could shorten their time to market on new products by like 3x with that. It's like, I don't care. They already bought everything they could from us. So nah, like, come on, man. And all that person would have needed to do was basically an introduction or like not really like 5 minutes effort, right? But person didn't care. So I think it is a choice.
For sure.
You also mentioned in our like briefing, like, hey, we always ask, how would you rate the sales state of the nation in DACH? And you said like 2 out of 10. I think that's the lowest score we got so far. Also, I tend to agree. Why so low, right? And what needs to happen to get it to at least like a 7?
I think why did I set low to such a low number? It's like, I feel like there's really a misunderstanding about what sales really is from a seller perspective. And I think you covered a lot in the podcast and great stuff there. But at the same time, from the buyer, from a buyer point of view as well. So I think a lot how buying is done right now in DACH region and in my industry or in other industries as well. We buy now, and how we buy is sometimes not really helping the customer getting the value. And I think like when you always say like, let's have a human conversation. And if you apply this mindset to the whole process, how you sell and buy software or products, then I think we would easily get to a 7 or 8, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That makes so much sense. So I'd love to ask you like 2 rapid fire questions. And because we spoke about customer success and because we spoke about hiring, and then just wrapping it up before we go into like last words from your side, rapid fire question, like if you can take an additional euro of revenue from an existing customer of Terabit or a new one, which one do you take and why?
I would take from an existing customer, because that demonstrates for us that we develop in the right way our software.
Cool. And second one, I mean, we have this conversation in the past, right? Because we also salespeople cost, you know, transparency. Hiring a junior sales rep for 50k a year versus a senior one with industry knowledge for 150k. Which one are you intending to take and why?
I would intend to take the senior hire, because that person can drive sales or run the whole process, and this is important for us as a company.
Yeah, I know that makes so much sense in your industry especially. So wrapping it up, you studied business, learned zero about B2B sales there. So you went out learning by doing, Stackfuel's first business employee. Shout out to Leo Marose. 3 insights from you, like sales is actually service and stories are detached from the outcome. Embrace the service mindset. Give your buyers champion a nice story to tell. If it doesn't work out, don't get frustrated, but also, can you help me understand better why you didn't tell the story, right? Second one, also rehearse your intro pitch, especially for cold calls, because you really have an attention constraint, and you even use, I think, Bauer, right? Conversation exactly. Intelligence solution to iterate quickly here. And the third one is being hyper precise when framing the buyer journey. Not go like, oh, how would you like to run things? Like, let's see how it goes. But this is how we run things. After this call, this will happen. We will run an initial collaboration for X wind turbines for low five-figure investment. When it works well, we roll it out company-wide for a six-figure investment. Cool.
you wrapped it up quite nicely. And I think this is what works for us, being like really detail orientated, having the service mindset, and find that use case which makes so much sense for the customer. So thanks for having me today.
True pleasure, and have an amazing evening. Looking forward to having you closing more deals in the market.
Thanks. Talk soon.